And now let's take our Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to look at verse 12 this morning. And if you're using one of the Bibles that we provide under the seats, you will find this verse on page 61. As soon as we've all found our way there, I'll begin in a word of prayer. All right, let's pray together. Our Lord, on this day, we give you thanks for being our fathers. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus into the world to live and die and rise again so that we might be adopted members of your household. Lord, we thank you for giving us all of the privileges of sonship. Lord, we thank you for giving us a relationship with you. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins, for the promise of eternal life, for a place in your kingdom to come. And Lord, today we also give you thanks for our earthly fathers. Lord, especially those who have fulfilled their assignment well. Lord, I pray that you would continue to strengthen them, continue to give them perseverance as they seek to serve you and their families with integrity. Lord, I pray that you would protect them from temptation, that you would keep them faithful to their wives, their kids, and to your church. Lord, I pray that as we consider this text today, that you would give us a greater sense of our responsibility to honor those fathers who have done their jobs well. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So for my Mother's Day sermon, I mentioned that my father was not around very much when I was growing up. That's because my father worked second shift, so most of the time, when he was awake, I was sleeping, and when I was awake, he was sleeping. And then on weekends, my dad spent a lot of his time with his buddies outside the house, so I really didn't see him very much. Now, I didn't learn till much later that the reason my dad wasn't around is because my parents had marriage problems, and so he thought it was best to just stay away as much as he could, and that way we kids wouldn't have to witness conflict in the household. But even though my dad wasn't around a whole lot, his influence on me has been profound. My wife has noticed that I've picked up on a lot of his mannerisms. Some of these she finds endearing, some of them she finds completely obnoxious. But I have them, nonetheless. Sometimes I sound like my dad in the way that I'll pronounce words. Couple of times people have asked me if I'm from the South because they say they can hear some southern inflections to my voice. Well, of course, I've spent my whole life in the Great Lakes region, but my dad grew up in Georgia, and so I think that some of his speech patterns have been picked up by me. My love for southern sweet tea also comes from my dad. Okay. This is my dad's recipe for tea. You fill a glass with water, then you take about 2 teaspoons of tea, you put it in the glass, then you take at least a half a cup of sugar, put it in. You stir it up. The sugar cannot possibly dissolve in that small amount of water, so there's always that bit at the bottom of the glass. But that's how you drink sweet tea, according to my dad. And we kids loved it. I don't know how I still have my teeth, because we drank this stuff by the gallon when I was a kid. To this day, I cannot enjoy sweet tea unless it's so thick that it's almost like honey. It has to be that sweet. There's some more important things that my dad has influenced me with as well. That would include his work ethic. My father was a hard worker. He still is. And my entire childhood, he worked in a factory in downtown Detroit. It was a job that he hated, but it paid well and it had good benefits. And so he stuck with that job all those years. In fact, he still works at that job. He's been there for about 35 years now. If overtime was offered, he would always pick up the overtime because our family was always struggling to pay all the bills. He wanted my mom to be able to stay home full time to look after us. And so he took on the financial responsibility. And then she would only work just a few hours a week. During the early years, my dad would be laid off from his factory job during the winter. But he wouldn't just sit idle until they called him back. He would hit the pavement and go out and find another job that he could work during the couple of months that he was off at the factory. And for him, it didn't matter how menial the job was. If it was honest work and it could pay the bills, then it was a good job for him. And so over the years, he would, you know, get jobs at restaurants, washing dishes and things like this, just to help us keep up. I trust that I've taken on my dad's work ethic. It's one of the virtues that he possesses that I want to have myself. So I've tried to take that one to heart. I always knew growing up also that I was loved. I had a very affectionate father. I didn't see him a whole lot, but when I did see him, he would play with us kids. He would tell us nighttime stories. He was always affirming that he loved us. And that provided a lot of security for we kids growing up, to know that we had a dad who was going to work hard to keep us under a roof, and that he was going to love us and not leave us. That meant a lot to us. Now that I'm a father, I've tried to take that virtue and apply it to my own kids too. So I try to be the affectionate dad for my kids that he was for me. And though my kids are still young, I can see the benefits of that already. My kids enjoy being in my presence because they know that when they're with me, they're with somebody that loves them. And they enjoy my company at night when my son has a nightmare and he cries out for help. I'll enter the room and he'll say, "Dada," and he'll come and reach up for me to pick him up and calm him down. Children need dads who will love them and work for them, provide for them and protect them. Friends, the scriptures tell us that fatherhood was God's idea. God instituted the family, and within that family, he created the office of father. The father's job is to love his family and to lead his family for their good. Friends, the Bible also tells us that fathers who have done their job well deserve a special kind of honor. And that's what we try to do each year during Father's Day. We want to give proper honor to our dads. And today's sermon text is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. My sermon is going to come in two parts because this verse comes in two parts. First, we're going to see the command to honor fathers. Then we're going to see the incentive for honoring fathers. Let's begin with that command. It says, verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Now, what exactly does it mean to honor your father? Well, the Hebrew word translated honor in the Old Testament is a word that means to be heavy or to be weighty. And in the New Testament scriptures, the Greek word translated honor means to assign a high value to something. And so understanding the meaning of the words, I think, gives us an understanding of the meaning of honoring our fathers. So what it means is that we recognize the high value of the office that our fathers hold. We recognize that it is a weighty office. It's an important office. And it means that we relate to our dads on that basis. Okay, we relate to them in a way that communicates clearly to them that we value them, that we see how significant their role is in the family. And more specifically, let me offer some suggestions for how we can honor our dads in the home. I'm going to take my main points here from the Westminster Catechism. This was a teaching tool developed by the Presbyterians about 400 years ago. However, I think that this tool provides a really good guide for us today. So let me offer their points along with my own commentary. So number one, we can honor our dads in the home by giving them all due reverence in heart, in word, and in behavior. Okay? All due reverence in heart, in word, in behavior. Let's take those one at a time. First, we must reverence our fathers in our hearts. You know what that means. It means that inside your heart, you choose to dwell on the good things about your dad. You don't allow yourself to become angry or resentful about the ways that he might have mistreated you. Instead, you think about all the good things that he has done for you. You choose to think about the value of the office that he has held in your home. It means you respect him in your heart. And then next, we give him reverence with our words. That means when we speak to dad, we speak in a way that communicates our respect for him. We do that in our father's presence, but also behind his back, telling our friends how valuable our dad is, not belittling him outside the home. And then it means we also respect dad in our behavior. That means, kids, when your dad is giving you an instruction, it's never right for you to roll your eyes, to give a big sigh, to drag yourself across the room to follow their instructions to you. Doesn't mean trying to fight back against their instructions. With your behavior, you communicate that you understand they are the dad, you are the child, that you respect their position, and that you will do as they would have you do. Showing reverence to our dads in heart, word, and behavior can mean so much to them. I remember about 10 years ago, I wrote a Father's Day letter to my dad, and in the letter, I just listed the things that I respected about him, and I thanked him for those things. And most cards don't mean a whole lot to my dad, but that one did mean something. He ended up calling me back on the phone and thanking me for that letter. We had a lengthy conversation about it. Then he told me about the letter he once sent to his dad, my grandpa, that said the same kinds of things. Your dad needs to hear from you that you respect him, not just that you love him, but that you respect him. Some of you kids may not realize this, but your dad spends all day long in a job. Most of your dads do. And in that job, he's usually not treated well. He may have a boss who's constantly harping on him, or maybe he's the boss, and he's got employees that are constantly grumbling under him. He's not treated well when he's at work. Now, he shouldn't have to leave work at the end of the day and come home and be treated the same way by his own family. When he gets home, he ought to be respected. He ought to be loved. He ought to know that he is valuable, that people want him there, that they're delighted by his presence. The same is true for your moms, but today it's Father's Day, so we're talking about your dads. There's another way that we can show honor to our dads. That's by praying for them. So, is your father still alive? When was the last time that you poured your heart out to God on behalf of your father? Maybe you don't know what you could be praying about. Well, let me offer these suggestions. You could pray to God for your dad's growth in grace. You want a godly father. So pray that God would help him to grow in his faith. Pray to God that he would have victory over temptations. Pray that God would give him victory over the sins that are dragging him down. Pray that God would give him a sense of fulfillment as he fulfills all of his tasks on behalf of the family. Pray that he would be fulfilled as a husband and as a dad and as a worker at his job. Pray that God would make him content in his work, that he wouldn't be restless Pray for your dad's physical health and safety. And pray for his perseverance. Pray that your dad would not give up, that he would not veer off course, but that he would be steady and true. These are the kinds of things that your dad needs you to pray for, and you honor him when you do this. By the way, it's also very hard to remain resentful towards your dad when you're praying like this for him. There's a third thing we can do to honor our dads. We can imitate their virtues. Now, no father is perfect. In fact, no human being is perfect. We're all plagued by these sin natures of ours, and we wrong our families. And yet, most fathers also have qualities that are worth emulating. We can identify those and put them into practice. You've heard that imitation is the highest form of flattery. Your dad knows that you honor his virtues when you practice them yourself. I mentioned that my father's greatest virtue is his work ethic. So I've tried to implement that work ethic myself. I've tried not to fear long work days and hard weeks. And I have tried to follow his example, believing that no job is beneath me if it's honest work and it's providing a paycheck. And so I can be a pastor and a paperboy at the same time, as I was in the early years of my ministry here. It doesn't matter as long as you're working. Imitate your father's virtues. And number four, you can honor your dad by obeying their instructions. You know, the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about foolish kids. One of the things that it says most frequently is that a foolish kid is one who does not listen to his parents' instructions. You see, the idea is that God has put your parents in the home to watch over you kids. They're a little bit older, they're a little bit wiser, and so they are there in the home to help guide you in the right way. And so a wise children will recognize the wisdom of mom and dad, and when mom and dad tell them certain things about how the world works and what they need to be doing, they should follow that. It's only a foolish child who would think that they have nothing to learn from mom or dad. And so we listen to their instructions and we obey. Even those menial instructions that we really don't understand the point of, like do this chore, do that chore, be in bed by this time of night. Even those are meant for your good. Now, does this mean that God has given your dads unlimited authority over you? Well, of course not. Of course not. Your fathers serve you under the authority of God. And so your dad can never force you to do something that God says you must not. Your dad can never prohibit you from doing something that God says you must. When your dad, or if your dad ever steps outside the bounds of his God-given authority, at that point he does not need to be obeyed. But with those exceptions, God has given to your father and your mother tremendous authority to structure your life in childhood, to make sure that you are raised in the way that they believe is godly. We must recognize their broad authority over us and follow their directions, believing, even if we don't understand it now, that what they are doing is for our good in the long run. Fifth thing that we can do to honor our fathers, we can bear with their infirmities. I mentioned already that our fathers are sinners. Some of them are great sinners. Some of them have done things so evil that it has forced us to keep a safe distance from them. And our relationship with them has been forever altered. Some of our fathers are in jail. Some of them are on probation. As a rule, however, recognizing that there can be exceptions, the rule is that we must show patience toward our father's weaknesses and dwell instead on their strengths, relating to them on the basis of the good that they have done for us, not on the basis of the evil. And then a sixth and final way that we can honor our parents, particularly our dads, we do it by covering them in love. Covering them in love. Your dad should never have to doubt whether you love him. He should know it. He should know it by the things you say, by the way you relate to him with your body language. He should know it by the phone calls you make and by the cards that you send, by the way that you respond when he reaches out to you, by the way that you look after him. My friends, these are the ways that we honor our fathers. If these are the ways we honor our fathers, then we understand the ways that we could dishonor our fathers. We dishonor them with disrespectful attitudes and words and behaviors toward them. We dishonor our fathers when we ignore their advice or when we belittle them, either to their faces or behind their backs. When we treat them as if they are ignorant and out of touch and have nothing to contribute to our lives. I realize this is the way that TV sitcoms often portray fathers, as these out-of-touch goofballs. Might direct your attention to Ray Barone or to Phil Dunphy or to Homer Simpson, characters that are bumbling idiots that children can't really look up to. My friends, as members of Christ Church, this is going to have to be an area where we push back against the culture. We're going to have to say, no, that's not what our dads are like here in this church. Our dads are valuable. Our dads are important. Our dads deserve respect. They have wisdom for us to benefit from. We need to be a place where fatherhood is taken seriously, where dads are treated seriously. We can also dishonor our fathers by refusing to pray for them or refusing to listen to their instructions when they give them to us. We dishonor our fathers when we dwell only on the ways that they have wronged us. We think, my worthless dad, he doesn't let me go on all the dates I want. He makes me go to bed too early. He compounds too many chores on me. For that obnoxious father, he's always calling me with his needs. That's how we disrespect our dads. We disrespect them when we refuse to treat them with love. Now, at this point, let me ask one more question. So what about those fathers who have not behaved in honorable ways? I've mentioned that some dads, that all dads are sinners. Some of their sins have been very grievous. There are also absentee fathers and abusive fathers. What about all of them? My friends, the sad reality is that we live in a sin-cursed world, and because of this, there will be tragic circumstances where a father is absentee. We call these deadbeat dads. Or a father is abusive, verbally or physically. And therefore, you cannot live under the same roof with him. Sometimes these tragedies do occur. In fact, it's more often than we would care to think about in the present culture. Yet I would also remind you of these words from Jesus. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That does not mean putting yourself in a place where you could be victimized by that kind of dad. It does not mean affirming evil behavior as if it were good. It does not mean that you relate to your dad as if nothing bad has happened. None of that is implied here. It doesn't mean giving honor to dishonorable behavior. All it means is fighting every single day to keep your heart free of malice. And when it comes into your mind, it means praying for your dad, for his salvation, his repentance, and reconciliation with God. Now, I believe we understand the command to honor our fathers, what it involves and what it does not involve. Now, let's look at the second part of verse 20 and Look at the incentive that is provided to us. Verse 12 of Exodus 20 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Now, let me put this in its historical context. Okay, God here is speaking through the prophet Moses to the Jewish people just as they are about to enter the promised land. So God had given them this great tract of land along the eastern bank of the Mediterranean Sea. He had rescued the Jews out of slavery. He's going to put them in that land. Their ability to remain in the land would depend upon their faithfulness to the covenant that they were establishing with God. At the heart of that covenant was this portion of Scripture that we call the Ten Commandments. The command to honor father and mother was the fifth commandment. What Moses was saying to the children of Israel on this day was, you honor mom and dad, and by being faithful to this, you will maintain your rights over the property that God is giving you. If you are unfaithful to the covenant and you despise mom and dad, you will forfeit the land that God is giving you. That's the historical context of the words here. But you know what's very interesting is that in Ephesians chapter 6, which is a New Testament passage, the Apostle Paul quotes the fifth commandment, and he gives the same incentive to the church. It's modified only in the slightest way. Some translations put Paul's words this way: honor father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. Now here's the promise: that you may live long on the earth. ESV translates it land, others say earth. So the only thing that's been modified here is honor your fathers, not just so you can keep that promised land like the Jews had, but so that you can live long on the planet. The idea is this: not only does honoring your father please God, because fatherhood was his idea and he put it there for your good and he wants you to honor the gifts that he gives, not only should we honor dads for that reason, but we should also honor our dads because it's good in the long run for us. Practically speaking, we will have a better life if we follow the wise advice of our dads than if we ignore them. Our dads are older and wiser than we are. They have a treasure trove of information to share with us. When we're kids, they teach us how to stay safe, how to be careful about strangers. When we're older, they teach us how to safely drive on the highway. When we grow up and establish our own families, they help us work through the challenges of applying for a loan and securing a mortgage and what to do about this marriage conflict, what to do when your kids are being brats. And he says, I remember when you were a brat, this is what I did. Our parents are a treasure trove of information. Life goes better for us when we listen to them and take their best advice to heart. That's what Paul is telling to us. And so, my friends, God calls us to honor our dads. And this is how we do it. And for us, it is better in the long run if we do. God, give us the grace to honor our dads here. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day once again. We thank you, Lord, for making us our Father. Lord, for being our Father. Lord, some of us haven't had the benefit of growing up with a dad. I pray that you would help those people, Lord, to take comfort in the fact that they have a perfect Father in heaven, and that you love them and protect them more than any earthly father could. Lord, I pray for those who are longing to become dads, but so far they've been denied that desire. Lord, give them patience as they wait for the perfect unfolding of your plan for their lives. And Lord, for those in here who are fathers, give them the strength to do what is right. Help them to fulfill their tasks well. And Lord, I pray that you would help those of us who are sons and daughters Help us, Lord, to give honor to our dads. If our dads have already passed, Lord, then may we honor their memories. I pray, Lord, that our church would not follow the path of the broader culture, that we would not see dads as something to mock or something that's irrelevant to our lives. Help us not to see our dads as bumbling, fumbling men. Lord, help us to see them for who they really are. People that you have put into our lives for our good. Lord, give us a good Father's Day today. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.